everybody. Welcome back to Red Wine and Mystery Stories, another installment of the fastest growing podcast on the internet, I would say, right?
Well, let's hope.
Yeah. Here's hoping to a hot podcast. I'm Patrick M. Dunn. You probably remember me from the previous few episodes. And who am I here with?
I am Jill Buck, as always.
Yeah, as always. Welcome back. Welcome back to another hot ep. And I feel like there should be an announcer, like the Tonight Show. Like, we should have a guy with like a deep, gravelly voice warning us about something. We should have a contest and like,
yes.
Are you scary? Are you a scary person? Do you have a scary voice? And I just want like the skies above us kind of start to it. That's what I picture. Like,
yes,
the vision that I have in mind of this podcast is completely different than like what it ends up being.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate for both of us. That's what happens when you're drinking and talking about weird things.
Yes. So if you're new to the podcast, if this is your first time at the rodeo, it's Red Wine and Mystery Stories. And literally, that's what it's two of our favorite things, wine/alcohol and the unknown. The unknown realm. I like saying that.
Realm is a good word.
I like the word realm. Like, shout out to realm.
Woot. Realm.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to all of our previous episodes, we get drunk. And we go on the internet, we research topics that we love and dare, which is like mostly UFOs, ghosts, creatures, murders.
And when we say research, take that very loosely. We're basically Googling something and finding the first articles we can about it. So our source material is probably not the most reliable, just putting that out there.
it's literally like we were just like driving down like the countryside one day, and we like stopped at a diner, and someone's like, "Hey, did you hear about the old spooky mill?" And we're like, "What? Let's go check out the spooky mill." And we hear the hearsay from the locals.
Yes, and head there in our mystery machine with our dog that talks.
You know, we need like a like in my mind, I picture we have like thousands of fans. We probably have like five, but in my mind, I picture we have like thousands of fans. Like, do we have like a fandom name though? Misties, maybe Misties.
We'll workshop it
on the like as the next few episodes go.
I mean, I'm inclined to say winos, but that brings to light a whole other issue.
Well, I figure that's just like that's emphasizing on the alcoholic side of things. I think
very true.
Is there a way to like combine the two?
Mystery wines?
Wine mist. Wine mist.
Yeah.
Maybe you know what we should do? We need like an old fashioned, like late 1990s like internet message board where anonymous people can come on and tell us their suggestions.
I think that's a great idea. We can just like, you know, crowdsource it basically.
Yeah. Do they still have late 1990s style message boards? I don't know. It's been a hot minute since I've looked for one.
I mean, I think it's the like asking for recommendations section of Facebook.
We should make like a Facebook group. Maybe like a group.
Do we want
not a page, but like a group?
Okay. All right, so we want to do a group.
Yeah, and like we have to like add people to it, like specific, like they have to request to join, and we have to like look at them and look them over. It'll be like very you need referrals.
I have a feeling that's going to hurt our numbers.
We'll have important questions like, what is your thoughts on the Mothman?
Oh, totally real, man, totally.
We ask the hard hitting questions.
Those are the hard hitting questions.
What are your thoughts on the Mothman?
I enjoyed the movie a lot, and I mean, there's that whole...
With Richard Gere?
Yeah, I thought it was a well-done movie. Yeah. And I like the whole, you know, supposedly based on true events, which I never research. Ooh, we should do the Mothman at some point.
It's the thing that I love that, you know, it's inspired by true events, not based on true events.
Right, which the inspired thing means, like, somebody heard something from somebody and they ran with it and made a movie that has nothing to do with any of the actual people or events.
Yeah, well, what I'm thinking is someone's going to listen to our episode of the podcast, we're talking about something that we read on the internet, and they're going to base a movie on that. So,
or next thing you know, we're on the History Channel as experts, like Kyle Broflowski in South Park.
Yeah, shout out to, there goes our South Park reference.
Woo!
Woo!
Early
Hashtag
on.
Woot.
Yes.
Early, yeah, we got out of the way. I want to be the ancient alien guy, though. The like the really David Arquette looking type guy with like the wild hair.
Oh, the guy with the bad hair who started out all professional looking way back in the day, and just his hair is getting more and more out of control as the aliens very, very slowly abduct him.
Oh, well, that guy gets abducted like once a day, right? At least.
I mean, he must. He knows way too much about ancient aliens.
which is a subject that we're actually kind of hitting tonight. Speaking of.
Yes. Yes. Ancient aliens / UFO sightings in old-timey America.
Yeah, so is old-timey America ancient, or is this post-ancient?
It's probably post-ancient, because I know a lot of the ancient aliens things are talking about, like, pyramids and Egyptians and shit like that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, I think old-timey UFOs. So this is part one of an eventual series. We'll probably always revisit this topic, because we thought it was going to be
a lot out there.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be just, like, one episode, and we talk about, like, 15 different cases, but there's so much. So it's like, you know, maybe we'll just take it one at a time. We can digress into our other subjects, which we always tend to do, because it'll probably take us,
of course,
3 hours just to talk about something that we could probably get out of the way in like 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, that's kind of our style. In all honesty, that's how we best roll.
Yeah, so if you actually, like, are listening to this podcast and you, like, actually want to, like, get in-depth about old-timey UFOs, this is probably not your best source, but if you want to enjoy yourself and hear about old-timey UFOs, this is where you want to stop.
Especially, yeah, if you enjoy, like, movie references and Arnold Schwarzenegger yes. impersonations, because that we have an abundance of, so, yeah.
Has there been a Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in which he is involved with an old-time UFO yet? I don't think so, right? Has he been in, like, in a spacey there's Total Recall.
Well, I mean, Total Recall, obviously.
I mean, there is a three-titted alien in that, so I guess that's technically an alien, right?
But she's not an alien, she's a mutant. She's a human mutant.
How was she mutated? By the atmosphere on Mars? Or is there... Where did
yeah, because they were... The whole mutant section of the, like... mine place.
It's been a while.
Was built with the poorer domes, so like it didn't filter out what they call it. Says they just refer to it as it doesn't filter out the rays, so it's something to do with like the radiation from the sun not being filtered out properly and the atmosphere was seeping through or something like that, and it caused mutations.
Yeah,
I don't know, but they're all like they have ESP, so they all can read your minds, and they have weird disfigurements, including, you know, three tits.
I guess, I mean, as far as disfigurements go, I guess three tits is not a bad one to have.
As a woman with two tits that get in the way often, I would think a third tit would be even more trouble.
I'm thinking you could have, like, the hand of the guy in Scary Movie 2 that Chris D'Elia plays, like, the weird guy with, like, the weird shriveled up hand. I figured
that. Oh, his strong hand.
Yeah. Like, you could have that, or, like, you could have three tits. I think I would go for three tits.
Yeah, but, you know, I gotta say, that third tit would be a constant problem with a seatbelt.
Oh, and I'm thinking, like later on in life, back pain and stuff.
Well, you have that in the beginning anyway, trust me.
Oh, well, I don't have tits, so I don't know.
Yeah, I do, and trust me, there's a lot of back pain involved no matter what you've got.
Oh, okay.
Unless you've got, like, nothing there, you know, you've got back issues, you're slumping, and you've got problems.
Well, I mean, it is modern times. You can get like corrective surgery. You get them like
reduced. Yeah, that would go over really well at home. I guarantee Jay would not enjoy that idea. Thank you very much.
Jill's back in the dating pool, everybody, with her small boobs.
Yeah, no. And homeless because I can't afford to live on Cape with the meager salary I get from working at a nonprofit.
Homeless in Seattle. Which is a town I just made up because it fit the alliteration scheme.
It would be more like homeless in Harwich. That's a town on Cape Cod.
Oh, I was trying to think if there was a town on Cape Cod that had an H.
Hyannis?
Literally the most famous one. The only one that anyone knows. Where the Kennedys live. Shout out to callback to the first episode. Hyannis.
Seriously, just shit, man.
All right. Hot scoop. Have you seen, listen to episode one, The Kennedy Curse. We get into the whole Kennedy family who we love the fucking Kennedys. They are our bread and butter. We could probably revisit that and, like, go into new subjects. Like
the Shriver.
Did Jack know about the UFOs?
Right.
Yeah. Like, Maria Shriver, like, is she a robot?
Did she knowingly marry an alien?
Right? So next month, I didn't know if you saw this, but I always You know how there's a thing, there's a conspiracy. This is Conspiracy Corner right now. Conspiracy Corner. All right, so anytime you talk about something on your phone a lot, or you text someone a lot about, like, the Kennedys, all of a sudden you'll start getting, like, ads relating to it, like, on all your social media streams, like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Have you noticed that phenomenon? We talked about it, I think, in a previous episode.
I think we did. It's that whole everybody's listening all the time,
yes.
And Facebook is especially listening, so anytime you're speaking around, like...
I always feel like... There's somebody watching me. Yeah, I'm thinking of a Roscoe song. Shout out to Roscoe. Come on the podcast. He died.
Oh, that's sad.
I don't feel like Googling it. He was Michael Jackson's cousin, though, who we know is dead.
Yeah, I mean, he is living in, like, hologram status, right?
Yeah.
Up with Tupac.
Are holograms a sentient being?
Ooh, according to South Park, yes.
The hologram's going to take over. Ooh, scary stuff to think about.
Again, according to South Park, yes.
What were we saying? Oh, the Kennedys. All right, so...
Yes. You were saying about how talking about Kennedys and shit starts popping up on your phone.
Yes, so the other day, and I'm excited for this, next month in April, there is going to be a Chappaquiddick movie coming out.
Holy shit! What the fuck?
Yeah, I can't wait for it. And the acting looks horrible. Ed Helms from The Office, who plays Andy in The Office, is going to be in it.
Oh,
it looks
dear
fucking...
God.
It looks amazingly awful, and I only watch amazingly awful things. Like, I am here for shitty-ass movies. Like, that's what I live for. People are always like, oh my god, have you seen, like, The Crown on Netflix? It's about the royal family in England. It's so well done, and I watch it, I'm like, this is too good. Like, this is too good. Like, it's perfect.
This is not worth my time.
I need, like, cheesy-ass shit. I need, like, the stuff that's on, like... I want, like, a sleazy-ass, like, Princess Di movie or something. Like, that's the stuff. I'm there for, like, nice. Ryan Murphy stuff. Like, legit. Like, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for, like, The People versus O.J. Simpson and Feud, Betty and Joan. Like, I just love, like, the shitty, campy stuff. That's what I'm here for. So, Chappaquiddick. I'm here for that. I am fucking all here for that. We might have to revisit Chappaquiddick. Maybe we have new conspiracies. Maybe new things will unearth.
When is it coming out in April? Is it going to be when we're in the same state? Because that would probably be a field trip.
Yeah, we'll have to do a field trip to the cinema that has reclining chairs that I always fall asleep on.
Fuck yeah, we can do that. Oh, we can do that on the first day we're there. And that way,
yeah. We can sleep at the movies.
Yeah,
And it's a Tuesday. It's going to Tuesday, and it's like Discount Tuesday. Shout out to Discount Tuesdays. It's like $5 all day.
I am,
even new movies.
I am all about that shit, man. All about that shit.
I'll finally go see Black Panther.
Oh, yeah. We need to see that, too. We're so bad about actually going to the movie theater to see movies. We, like, see trailers, and we're just like, oh, that looks amazing. We have to make sure we go and see it. And then, like, 3 months later, we're like, hey, is that out on Netflix yet?
Yeah. I'm, like, just now, like, watching movies that came out, like, 2011, and I'm, like, talking to people as if they're brand new. I'm like, hey, have you seen that movie 2012?
Oh, that was such a...
With John Cusack.
I enjoyed that movie so much.
It's so great. But I didn't watch it until like a year ago. So
yeah, I watched it. I think it was definitely not in theaters anymore because I'm pretty sure I watched it on DVD at my parents' house. So
oh yeah, shout out to still watching movies on DVD.
Yeah,
Jill Buck watching movies on DVD.
Oh man, I have two big Rubbermaid bins full of DVDs, and man, I love those fuckers.
I have things I've never opened. I go to Walmart. And as soon as I see that, like, that $3 to $5 bin...
Oh, yeah.
I am just... There's a magnet in there, and it just lures me in. And I'm buying stupid shit like, oh, my God, they have every, Friday the 13th movie on, like, one disc set for $5, and I grab it. And then it's like, oh, wait, they have, like, Eraser, the Arnold Schwarzenegger 1996 movie, and I grab it. And then I get home, and they just sit in the shrink wrap forever. And then I'm always, like, every day I look at it, and I'm like, you know what? Today might be the day I watch Eraser. And then it's like, I'm like, ooh, squirrel.
I gotta say, $5 bin is definitely, there's some type of like hypnotic magnet set up there because I have seriously been like headfirst into that bin trying to find things. Do you remember that? Oh, shout out to Microsoft Paint. Do you remember the paint that I did?
Yeah. hold on. We gotta... Literally thinking of paint. We got to paint a picture for the audience. Do you remember that day? It was like four or five years ago. We stopped working with each other. We hadn't seen each other for like 6 or 7 months. And I was at Walmart one day. I was in the used DVD section. And all of a sudden I looked up and you were right across from me. And I was like, oh, hey, Jill. And you're like, oh, hey. And then we were just like thumbing through like used DVDs together. And I'm like, hey, look, It's like Collateral Damage right here. The movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, like Vanessa Williams or something.
Yes, and then we sat there.
Do you remember that? Yes,
and we sat there for a while, like critiquing the various movies we'd pull up and be like, oh, look at this one. Yeah. This one's gold. We probably should have recorded. We could have recorded like 50 years worth of podcasts in that one day, just critiquing.
In that 10-minute span that we were like across from each other.
Seriously, just critiquing movies that we found in the $5 bin.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, look, it's Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, starring Vanilla Ice. And then we started talking about the Queen versus Vanilla Ice debacle of
yes, the big debate and how it's like, oh well, there's like a quarter of a second where it's different. Get over yourself, you white boy.
Shout out to that episode of Behind the Music on VH1. Shout out to VH1.
I think it was a Behind the Music because they were talking specifically about that whole issue and they made like a whole episode out of it. I'm like, really? This could have taken 3 seconds.
You know what though? I need the in-depth analysis second by second, blow by blow. I need them to slow it down, the music. I need them to like actually like play it. We have to look at the wavelengths and be like, oh, you know what? It is different for like a half a millisecond.
Yeah, it's like a tiny amount. And to hear Vanilla Ice, I think the one thing I remember from that Behind the Music is Vanilla Ice actually on camera going, so Queens goes dun 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 dun, and mine goes dun 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 dun.
Yeah, I love, like he does, like he adds something in. I love that. You know what?
Yes.
So we're gonna insert a sound clip right there of him explaining it.
Yes. Because it's fucking perfect.
Literally, whenever I think of Vanilla Ice, the first thing I think of is him explaining the difference. He's mansplaining the difference between Queen and his song.
And yes, oh my god. I didn't even realize it until you just said it, but that is exactly what I think of whenever I hear the name Vanilla Ice. That's exactly what comes to mind.
You'll be like out one night and they'll be like 90s night at a bar or something. They'll start playing.
Yep. And for like a millisecond you kind of get excited. It's like, oh, they're playing Queen. Oh.
I love just like shitty music like that. I love just like cheesy early 90s rap music like MC Hammer and stuff. But I fucking hate that Vanilla Ice song. Listen to it. I just for some reason it just doesn't sit with me.
You know what makes me a little sad? I know a good chunk of the lyrics, or at least part of the lyrics, because when I went to PCC, which anybody who is unaware, there is this whole thing for like
smart kids.
Well, yeah, smarter kids. When you're going from junior high to high school and freshman year to sophomore year of high school, so you can get like a head start at the college experience over the summer.
So they let you like chill with like other kids. You live with other kids for a week.
You live on a campus. Yep. You live on a campus. You live in the dorms on a college campus in the area, with other kids. You take a couple of classes that are your choice. So they're things like, you know, you can take like photography or like marine biology. And yeah, there's a theater one and it's
Alanis Morissette lyrics.
Yeah. It's very, very fun. And you always have like, you know, there's like variety shows and like talks every night and
TED Talks.
It's a good time. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And it kind of gives you like a
Maria Shriver's there talking about like climate control or something.
And calling Arnold Schwarzenegger a Neanderthal like she did in Last Action Hero.
Yeah. Oh, all right. We're going to have to watch Last Action Hero.
Oh, fuck yeah. Do you want me to bring our Blu-ray of it or our DVD of it?
Yes, I have a Blu-ray player. Bring either or. I have both. I am in the future now.
Sweet. Can I just say when the rabbit...
It hasn't been hooked up in like a year, but I have it. It's like in
a box. I
gotta
say, when our rabbit chewed the cord to our DVD player and we got a Blu-ray player to replace it, Jay kind of got excited and the first thing he did was order Last Action Hero on Blu-ray to see if it was a higher quality. I'm like, it's still a movie from the 80s.
Was it?
It's still the same.
It's 90s. It's 1994.
Oh, sorry.
1994.
Movie from the 90s.
Sorry, 1994. Sorry, 1980s that we confused you with 1994, like the shittiest year of like
that's
ever.
True.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like 1994 is like overall just a bad year.
Anyway, so sorry for the digression there, but so yeah, it's like gives you.
Sorry if you were here for old time UFOs. We're talking about Blu-ray player cords being torn through by a giant rabbit.
Oh my god, she's so fat right now. She's 15 pounds. She needs to lose 3 pounds. She's so fat.
What's her name?
Big Mama.
Big Mama. We talked about her on the witches episode of the podcast. So listen. To
I
the,
think we did.
We
yeah.
did because I forgot about it because I remember you held her in your lap and it looked like you had 18 Garfields in your lap. And you picked her up.
she's pretty giant, yeah. And she's looking at me like right now,
she's
like
gonna kill you.
Judging me.
You're gonna die in your sleep, and it's gonna be because of a rabbit. It's gonna.
No, she can't hop up onto the bed. She's tried. She can't make it. It's too high up.
She's got a bad heart.
No, she just can't hop up that high. She can get up on the couch though.
I literally. All right, for the listeners out there, we're gonna paint a picture. Literally. Jill has a kangaroo living in
her house. So, okay, it's not that bad. Anybody...
Or the bunny from Donnie Darko. The bunny from... the bunny suit
okay,
guy
all
from
right.
Donnie Darko.
She's
picture
not that horrifying. So, anyway, any...
but that size. She's that size.
For anybody who actually knows any rabbit things, or if you want to look up pictures of different rabbit breeds, she's most likely a Flemish giant. That will give you an idea of how large she is. And she's a very small Flemish giant because they can get upwards of 20 pounds. So
what's a Flemish giant? You're saying words I don't know.
Yeah, that's a breed of rabbit and they're freaking huge. And she is most likely that type of rabbit. But because she was kept in such shitty conditions for the first year of her life, she's all stunted in her growth. So she's a small one.
Oh, but she's still fucking huge, though. She's a huge.
She's still fucking
rabbit.
Huge. Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, she's still fucking huge.
It's like having a 9-year-old.
Except she doesn't. Well. I was going to say she doesn't really talk back to me, but but she kind of does.
She might gnaw at your Blu-ray cord, yeah. But that's how she does it.
But anyway, so we were talking about PCC and shit. So anyway, PCC, basically, it's called Project Contemporary Competitiveness Advanced Studies Program. So it's for the kids that are getting good grades to give them extra, incentive to really shoot for college and blah blah blah.
Keep them off the streets, keep them away from marijuana.
Yeah, right. So anyway, one of the things that we do every year, because it's 6 weeks in the summer, and one of the things that would happen towards the end of the 6 weeks would be a talent show that anybody, or it was a variety show. It wasn't really a talent show.
I'm picturing the Brady Bunch movie. at the end when they did the talent show.
Not quite. But, anybody could go in for, do something for it, whether it was singing, dancing, playing an instrument, juggling, doing whatever the fuck you wanted to do. And
name in all 50 states in alphabetical order.
Yeah. And one of my friends and his dorm mates decided that they were going to do a lip sync to Ice Ice Baby. But they were all.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's
yeah. So they were all dressed like Vanilla Ice. And they actually did a pretty good set. They did a good job, actually doing work on, the set and shit like that. And each one of them, I think there was, four of them. I can't remember. But each one of them took a different verse. And then on the chorus, they'd all, lip sync. So they, I swear, Mark spent, all 6 weeks learning the fucking lyrics to this song. They were all.
It
just
took
like,
6 weeks to learn the lyrics to fucking Vanilla Ice 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 Baby.
It probably wasn't. It probably wasn't all 6 weeks. It was probably
an hour,
a week, or something. Yeah, but he was just always listening to it to make sure he had the words right, so that when they were lip syncing, they wouldn't just be moving their mouths. They'd actually be
singing.
Not singing, but singing. So it was just constant. He'd be walking down to class, and he'd be like. Stop, collaborate, listen. I'm just back with a brand new edition. I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Do you know what I think of? Whenever I think of Vanilla Ice, I think of Jim Carrey on A Living Color.
Yes! Yes!
That's where my mind goes. And then, that's where my mind goes. And then when I actually see a picture of Vanilla Ice, I'm like, oh, he's not Jim Carrey on
yep.
A Living Color.
Yeah, but he pretty much is. White.
Shout out to Jim Carrey on A Living
yeah,
Color.
Yeah, seriously, that was awesome. White White Baby was the name of that parody, and that was fucking phenomenal. I have been caught singing that at work.
We'll watch that too when you're here. Well, maybe we'll do karaoke night, and we'll do White White Baby in my living room because I have karaoke mics.
Woo!
Shout out to
karaoke mics.
We're gonna do karaoke. That's what we're gonna do.
I am all for that, and Jay will probably sit by on his phone and just laugh at us under his breath.
Shout out to Broadway Louie. They do karaoke every night of the week, so there we go.
We're actually gonna go somewhere and do karaoke.
Well, we'll do it at home. We'll do a practice night, and then we'll do a real.
Okay. Oh, I've gotten so good at it's a song from the '70s. Oh shit, what's the name of it?
Janis Joplin.
No. Well, She's hard.
Isn't that your staple?
She's one of my staples. Me and Bobby McGee, but that one can be hard, especially if you're like nervous because there's a lot of ups and downs. But
yeah, we're in the South now. We are very judgy down here.
No, I've gotten really good at Go Ask Alice.
Oh, yeah, damn. Yeah, shut up. Maybe we'll maybe we'll do it. I'm really good at doing Blink-182, so we have to do a duet. We'll do a.
Oh, I can totally do a duet.
It was a Friday night. I woke alone to get the feeling right. We started making out.
And she took off my pants.
And that's when I turned on the TV.
TV.
Literally, it's like, all right, yes, that's the story of my life. Shout out to turning on the TV. Start making out. Shout out to watching Big Brother when you're trying to make out.
So, yeah, so I partially got good at that song because my mom and, like, her brother and stuff, when we all get together and they play music and everything, that's one of the songs in their repertoire, but nobody can sing it.
Repertoire.
Yeah, so they play it. They play it on guitar and I sing it because nobody else can get the song lyrics right. Like, nobody can sing it properly except me, apparently. So I've gotten good at that. Based on singing it with my family, which sounds really creepy.
Bring your banjo.
Okay, I'll bring my banjo. All
right. Yeah, maybe you'll fill in. You fit in. I'm like, you'll fill in. You'll fit in.
I'm sorry. The last time I was in a Carolina and filled in, it was when I got bitten in that club by that guy.
Shout out to the Breakfast Club. You get bitten by a guy. They said you had a nice southern ass.
Yeah.
We just talked about it in the last episode of the podcast. So. Oh, a recent episode.
Oh my God. I totally, that came up on my, On This Day thing in Facebook.
Shout out to On This Day.
I think it came up from like, was it yesterday? It came up and it was like, this happened 7 years ago. And I was like, thanks to the guy who groped me in a random nightclub.
Shout out to that guy. All right. Do you think we should get into some old timey UFOs for the people who came here for the
actual content?
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll do like a warning. If you want to hear like about mystery content, fast forward 3 hours into this podcast.
Yes, seriously.
All right, so we're going to talk about... So our original goal was we were going to talk about old-timey UFOs. I'm talking like pre-1900 UFOs where... So we've talked about this before where like UFO phenomenon seems to be always like just ahead of our technology, like what we know.
Yes.
So like in the early days of like hot air balloons, like a UFO was like an airship type thing. And then, like, after, like, planes became a thing, all of a sudden, like, UFOs were, like, saucer-shaped. And then, like, now they're super technological, and they're, like, triangular. I'm, like, think like, the X-Files.
Yes, type things. Basically.
Like, UFO technology changes throughout the years. So, I am just super intrigued of, like, old-timey UFOs. Like, to a time where man had nothing that flew or floated. This is like an era where the only thing they knew that like flew were like birds and stuff, but bats. Yeah. So like this is like going way back. So like they have no concept of anything. Like literally they're dumb. Like they're it must suck to have lived like a long time ago and you did not understand anything. And if you couldn't explain anything, it was the devil.
Basically. Yeah. It was just like Kathy Bates and the Waterboy, everything was the devil.
Yeah. And I think you said that in an episode of the podcast.
Yep. So I'm pretty sure I've said it more than once because it's a go-to for me.
And you'll say it. You'll continue to say it. So it's great. So I love.
It's one of those things.
I love the idea. It's like so you just can't be like, all right, so like UFOs, like all of a sudden they just started like coming around now, like recently.
No.
They had to have existed throughout our history of mankind, going back to when we were Neanderthals.
Yes. So the one that we're talking about today, which you so graciously found, because I apparently never do any work on this except show up and drink and talk about stuff that you've already
which
researched.
Which is totally fine.
It works out. It works out in our dynamic.
We're like Laurel and Hardy, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Starsky and Hutch.
Beavis and Butthead.
That's where it is. Yep, that's us.
Tom and Jerry. Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh, and Poochie?
Goofus and Gallant. We're just going to like name duos. This is the part of the podcast where we just go on for 18 minutes about like pears.
David and Goliath? Not really a duo. But...
Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Anyhow,
this one that you found is actually back to like the 1600s, and it takes place in New England specifically. Yes. Like the so this is back when it was the Massachusetts Bay Colony. So basically Boston.
If this is the first time you listen to the podcast, we are originally from Boston. Jill still lives there. I am now in South Carolina.
Of course, I don't live in Boston, but, you know, close enough.
Well, it's like close enough. We like to do things that are local to us where we are at the time. So you'll probably hear a lot of like New England-y type things and a lot of like South Carolina-y type things, just because it's, we like to do things we can go to and experience and like record from.
Yes.
So for the first installment, because we're probably going to do a lot of old-timey UFO episodes. So for the first one, shout out to Boston. Shout out to Boston, my former home city, your current home city, and a city rich in history, as it is anyway, like, just as it is. But according to legend, the legend that is the internet, at least according to a random-ass website I found, it is also the home of the first recorded UFO sighting in the American colonies, Ooga. So, like, literally...
Sweet!
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure... There were people here before us. We're just gonna acknowledge them.
Yeah, because
in a good way. Shout out to the natives, the Aboriginal. Not Aboriginal. What are they called?
Natives.
Aboriginals are from Australia. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. I apologize to our four listeners.
All four of them. So, I know it.
Sorry, Liz. I'm sure there's someone named Liz.
So people used to refer to them as Native Americans, but now it's more Indigenous peoples, I believe, is the preferred terminology. Native Americans kind of spans a very wide array of humans, especially with like South America and shit like that. So I believe it's Indigenous peoples.
All right. So therefore, if I say by accident, if I say Indians or Native Americans, I apologize. Don't at me. I have good intentions. I was born in an era where we like said Indian in class and we sat Indian style.
Oh, yeah. That was like the big thing that we learned about Indians. Yeah. And we learned incorrect history lessons about how, you know, we call them Indians because Christopher Columbus was looking for India, so he thought he was in India when he landed here. Oh, that's such bullshit. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, so it's hard. So it's hard. Just by force of habit, I say these words. So if I offend you, I apologize.
We do not intentionally offend anyone. We most likely offend everyone somewhere along the way, but it is unintentional. Yeah.
I'm not a woke 15-year-old. I'm not a woke teen.
No, you're an unwoke, like, tired person closing in on 40.
I know. But I like to think of myself as being like woke, though. Like I've changed. I'm a changed man.
You have your moments.
A little bit. I have my moment, but it's like I was born in an era where we said words like Indian, meaning
Indigenous peoples, yeah,
Native Americans or Indigenous people. I'm sorry. See, I already fucked up. So I'm sorry. I apologize. Don't at me. All right. Anyway, it all happened in March of 1638 or 1639. There's a little confusion.
It's kind of fitting that it happened in March and we're like recording this in March. It's probably not going to be in March when we release this, but. Yeah, it is when we're recording it. So there you go, people.
I didn't even think of that. Ooh, look at you, Jill.
Hey,
connect the dots.
I do enjoy a good connect the dots puzzle.
Yeah, shout out to like you have a bunch of numbers on a page and you connect them, and then all of a sudden it turns into like Peter Rabbit. But all right, so this happened either March of 1638 or 1639. There's a little confusion on the exact date. Or whoever was in charge of documenting back then probably had sloppy handwriting, and their eights looked like nines, maybe? Or vice versa. Hey, it happens.
Well, that's just like the whole using Fs instead of Ss, like the way they wrote it. That's, shout out to Futurama.
Shout out to, yeah. Hey, Futurama, call us.
You stupid fathead.
But regardless, the year isn't important. It was a long-ass time ago.
Yep.
And they didn't have, like, day planners, so... I say Tuesday, you say what's a Tuesday.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's get into the meat of the subject, the beef. Anyway, James Everill and two other Puritans who opted to go nameless, I guess. They were chilling one evening on their little boat thingy on the Muddy River near Charlton, Mass. Another site references the Charles River, so I'm not sure if they are one and the same. But what
I'm guessing, I mean, Charles is the, you know, the dirty river, the,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and, but one thing is certain, UFOs love that dirty water. Oh.
Oh.
All right, so I didn't look into this. I'm guessing the Charles River is named after somebody with either the first or last name Charles.
I'm guessing so. Maybe it's King Charles, right? Isn't there a King Charles somewhere along the way?
So I'm guessing in 1638 or 1639, they didn't say, hey, we're going to call this the Charles River. They were like, all right, you know what's muddy? We're going to just call it the Muddy River.
Things made sense back then. So can I just say one of my favorite parts of the beginning of this this little excerpt that you found is that James Everill, the guy that actually used his name as a citer of this, is described as a sober, discreet yes. man. So basically that's he's not the town drunk.
Yes.
And he isn't a chatty Cathy.
I mean, he probably drinks, but he's very he keeps it to himself. He's not a gossip. He's not like the National Enquirer. He's not a tabloid.
Right.
He's not being like, hey, Goody Hathaw and Mr. Jones are out there fornicating in the town squire after midnight.
Because they were bewitched.
Yeah, they were bewitched by Goody Ilwife.
Yeah.
And I just thinking like that Samantha from Bewitched, like nose noise. Like a little twinkle.
Yep. The nose wiggle noise.
Yeah, so he, I guess he's an honorable man. He has a good job. I think my notes get into it. He's a respectable man. The town loves him. He probably likes to fish late at night. It's probably the best time to fish. You get a lot of bites, maybe.
Well, night fishing is like a thing, and I think it's for, you're looking for specific types of fish, especially like eels. I think you're more apt to catch eels at night.
Yeah, and like we're in a time where people weren't like constricted to like time frame, so it's not like, oh, I have to be at work at 7 a.m I can't be up till 11 o'clock tonight. It's just like, hey,
yeah, they're just like, oh yeah, well, we're gonna do what we need to do when we have time to do yeah. it, because that's how we are, because the rest of the time we're farming.
Yeah, it's like, you know what, my bros farmer in the day, they work down the old farm, they're working on fucking corn and pumpkins and shit, whatever they grew up there. I'm a fisherman. I'm James Everill. I catch fish. I'm like a pro fucking level catching fish left and right. So he's out there, he's got some chum catching, I don't know what's in the muddy river. Oh, catfish like mud, right?
Yeah, but they're a southern fish. I don't think anything actually is living in that river anymore, because it's basically
not anymore. No. But I don't know about fucking 1638.
I mean,
like,
it could have been like lush with creatures at that point. Now it's all just polluted, and that's why it's called the Dirty River.
Now you might catch like a dead body or like a dirty boot.
Yeah, and maybe like a used condom. I'm pretty sure they've got plenty of this.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you'll catch it. If you're lucky, you'll catch it.
Yeah, that's like the best thing you can pull out of that river.
I know, because you might get some DNA. You can make something out of it, right?
Pretty sure what you'd most likely get from that river is hepatitis.
Yeah, do not fall in the river by accident. If you find yourself on the Muddy River / the Charles River, do not like go like, I'm thirsty, I need like a swig of water.
No, it's
paddle to the shore, go to like the local like Store 24, get yourself a Dasani or a Slurpee or something, whatever the fuck they call. Be safe. Be safe on the Charles. And you know what? Don't even go on there. Go somewhere else. Go to Middleborough. It's probably a little more cleaner.
Oh no.
It's probably
no.
cleaner than Charles though. Let's be real.
No.
Then go
no,
where?
No,
then where the fuck do you
not.
Go? Where do you go to fish on the river?
The ocean.
Go to the ocean. Just go to the ocean. Just drive east.
Yeah.
Just drive east till there's no more land.
Yeah.
And wherever you find yourself, just get a little paddle boat, maybe go like a mile out. Wear a life vest so you don't drown, and just hope the fucking ocean doesn't swallow you whole. Mother Atlantic,
yep.
Neptune, whatever it's called. Anyway.
Neptune or Poseidon? Isn't Neptune the, so there's like the Roman gods and the Greek gods, and they basically are the same thing, they just have different names. So Poseidon is one, and then Neptune.
Yeah, Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah, and I think
movie.
Neptune is the corresponding Greek or Roman. I can never keep it freaking straight. I don't know.
Fuck, marry, kill. Neptune, Poseidon, the sea hag from Popeye.
Oh, Jesus. What the fuck? What game? Why? Why? Why is this the game that you're choosing for these three? Because that's...
I don't know. That was the first... Ursula? I don't know.
Okay, Ursula is the sea hag from like the Little Mermaid.
Yes. All right. Hold on. Sea hag edition. Ursula, sea hag from Popeye. Who's a third sea hag?
Old Greg? I don't know.
Who's old Greg? Who the fuck is old Greg?
Oh my god! You've never watched any of the old Greg stuff?
No. What the fuck are you talking about?
YouTube old Greg and watch like the first three installments. Dude, he's got a mangina. He's like wearing a freaking like, he's wearing like a tutu and he's green. He's like this sea monster thing. And he ends up in this guy's boat when he's out fishing at night, motherfucker. You're going to end up with old Greg. That's what you get when you're fishing at night.
All right.
And he's
fuck, marry, kill
old Greg.
Fuck, marry, kill old Greg, Ursula, or the Popeye sea witch.
God. All right. You know, I gotta say, this is difficult.
You want me to go first? I'll go first.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of have an idea. So
I'm going to say, you know what? Ursula, as like rotunda she is, she's probably a good lay. Let's get out of the way. She's probably a good fuck.
Well, yeah. I mean, she does have that whole thing about body language. So she's probably very sexual. So I'll give you that.
She right. owns it. Ursula fucking owns it. So you know what? I'll fuck Ursula. I guess I'll marry the sea hag because I know who she is. And I have no idea who old Greg is. So I'm just going to kill him off. Fuck old
Greg. Oh, but old Greg is great. I think I'd marry old Greg and kill the sea hag. I would probably still fuck Ursula because let's face it, she does know all that shit about body language and everything. And hey, she can actually transform herself into a hot chick. So
hold on, I'm gonna Google image old Greg. Give me
old Greg. Okay. He drinks Bailey's. Bailey's is his like favorite thing ever. He's got all these paintings of Bailey's.
Yeah, all right. I'm marrying old Greg.
Yep.
Hold on, here's a pic right here. There's a pic of him right there. Hot scoop, I'm marrying old Greg. Old Greg and I'm going to be Patrick old Greg /-hyphenated Dunn, whatever the fuck.
He likes Bailey's.
Sorry, sea hag from Popeye. I'm going to eat my spinach and Bailey's, and we're going to fucking flick you out to sea. You're going to get eaten by a sperm whale.
Aw, sperm whale. Nice choice.
where are we? All right, where are we in the old...
So we just began talking about Charles River and whatnot as the placement. But I need to pause for a second, Patrick, because I really pee need break. To pee. All yeah, right. Pee break.
Doo-doo-doo-doo. We'll play the Price is Right theme song.
That right sounds here. Good.
All right. So James Everill and his crew, his like ragtag crew, they're all fishing one night. The Muddy River, and they observed
yep.
huge bright lights that hovered in the sky above the river, and according to legend, I like saying the word legend, according to legend, the lights flamed up as they hovered and appeared to be 3 yards square in size, and for us non-metrical folks, I did the math, yes, shout out to math, and aka Google search, 3 yards square is 27 feet square. So it seems kind of like miniature to me for like a UFO.
Yeah, that does seem pretty small.
Yeah, but like who knows? Like these folks were just guessing. Am I right?
Right. I mean, I'm sure they didn't have a measuring tape. And I'm sure if it was at a distance too, they were probably like, oh, well, it looks this big. Yeah, well, it's also like, you know, two towns over. So that's why it looks so small, you know?
Like, I can't tell. Like, I couldn't tell from the literature that I read. Like, if it was, like, right above them or if they were looking, like, miles away. Like, that's, like, I couldn't tell. I'm guessing, like, people always see UFOs far, like, from afar. So I don't know.
Yeah, they're always at a distance. They're never, like, focused and clear.
Yeah.
And like close up.
But
and I enjoy the whole thing where it's like over the course of 2 to 3 hours, mm-hmm. it ran as swift as an arrow. And I'm like,
yeah.
For 2 to 3, how slow were these fucking arrows? Like, what the shit?
But it flew and it was unidentified. So therefore, good enough for this podcast. That's all to say. So, so they, as you said, they watched the light for several hours. The light would occasionally contract into the shape of a swine, according to Everill, and moved swifter as an arrow across the night sky. This part excites me. Take note. We'll come back to it in a little bit because I want to get through the story real quick. So Governor John Winthrop of Massachusetts, Massachusetts governor in around this time.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently was some fucking amazing record keeper. Great. He was fucking great. He
wrote everything down.
He literally, like, he would, like, wake up and be like, I took a shit, I masturbated, I spied on my neighbor. Like, he literally documented everything, everyone he talked to, and people would come to him and, like, just tell them their days, and he would, like, document their days. So he was great. He was fucking...
He was a blogger before there was blogs.
Yeah. If he was alive today, he would be... I was going to say, like, a hot blog.
The last blog I read was yours, so...
He's me, I guess.
Oh, Patrick is the hot blogger now.
I'm a hot blogger and a governor. The fucking governor.
The governor of Massachusetts.
Welcome to my state. Come with me.
Come with me if you want to be cold.
I'll just drive that place into the fucking ground. I'm like, ooh, I didn't know.
It's already there.
Yeah. I'll drive it even further down. So anyway... He documented in his private journals that James Everill, our hero of the story, the seeker of the sky, I guess, he described him as a sober and discreet man. I think we already mentioned
that. We did. I enjoyed that part.
One to be taken honorably and well-respected in the community by his peers and other townsfolk. And shocker, yes, fucking shocker, Winther reported in his writings that others in the area also witnessed the same phenomenon in the sky, but he didn't get their names, so that's lost to history. So, I don't know.
Yeah, which is surprising because he was pretty fastidious about all of his other blog notes. Like, seriously, you can't even get their names. He's just like pulling it out of his ass. But other people saw it too.
Well, totally. Like maybe like there was just like a bevy of people that just showed up at his door. So, like, hey, Mr. Winther, we saw the lights last night. We saw the lights too. I saw the lights too. Like, it just on and on and on. He's like, oh, I fucking can't keep up with this shit. Hold on, my fucking little like feather pen can't write this fast. I ran out of ink.
I have no ink.
I ran out of quills.
I ran out of Kraken ink.
Ooh, Kraken ink. Shout out to Kraken ink.
Yeah. All someone right. Fetched me another Kraken.
Yeah. To the sea. Someone to the sea, my dear lord. Do you think James Everill was just like a river man? Like, he just stuck to the rivers?
I think so. I mean, he was in the worst river ever. So, I mean, if that's, like, his idea of great rivering.
I mean, I guess it's not like he has access to the, like a sexy river like the Nile or something.
Well, that's true.
It's not his fault. It's not his fault.
It's true. He was working with what he had. And, yeah.
He was a riversman.
Yeah, without a...
Is that a thing?
I mean, I've heard of, like, riverboat captains, but I don't think we had any riverboats around then, so...
My name is James Everill of Charlton, Massachusetts. Born this day on 1601. I came here on the Mayflower across the Atlantic. I'm a ye old Puritan escaping the harsh realms of the England colonies. Fuck them.
Only to be harsher to the other people here.
Yeah, fuck those cunts from Winchester Castle, or whatever the fuck it's called. Fuck them. And their taxes. I cannot deal with paying their meager taxes. I can't deal with this shit. I just want to live out here and masturbate freely in the countryside. That's all I'm here for. All I need in this life of sin is me and my 17 girlfriends. Illegitimate children as well. But I will take up a job as a riversman. Yeah. I will take up a job as a riversman. My dear friend John Winthrop, the governor, perhaps you've heard his name. He speaks every Wednesday afternoons at 2 o'clock on the ones and twos in Boston. Down at the old down at the old town square.
Is that like
the old town square?
Is that like weather on the threes or traffic on the threes? WBZ, traffic on the threes. It originated as John Winthrop on the twos.
Yeah, John Winthrop on the twos. Perhaps you know him. He's there every day at the town square talking about the old cobblestones. The hooves,
the
pattern of the hooves. Perhaps they keep you up at night. You hear them.
With their clipping and clopping.
Yeah, the old clopping around the old town. You just want to sleep with your mystery stories. Read the old good book and you hear the hooves clopping around. Anyway, where was I? I forget. Oh, I'm a rivers man. I'm just out chilling one night on my old Muddy Waters with my bros, me and my bros. Bros before hoes. Looking for
Bros before hoes. Yes,
bros before hoes. We're just looking for a late night snack. And, lights above the sky. Lights brighter than you can see. Flaming up as high as you can see.
Flames.
Yeah, we observe some flamers in the sky. 3 square feet, if you can believe that or not. They are hoovering above us right now. And they are taking the shape of an old swine. The old swine. You know.
Yeah, seriously, what the whole swine thing throws me for a loop. Like, why?
We'll come back to it, but we're going to say the old James Everill. Shout out to James Everill, my bro. My broeth before hoeth. they didn't know about, like, sky flight things. So it's just like, right. Oh. It's not like they say, hey, it looks like a
flying pig.
It's a flying saucer. It's an old flying saucer here above the old muddy waters here in Boston, Massachusetts, in 1638 or 1639. We don't know the year because we are, we're not that, we're dullards here in Boston tonight.
So,
we're drunk off that old cheer wine.
Fun.
Yeah, I'm a sober, discreet man, but I've been known to dabble for a drink or two out here on the water, out here on the muddy waters.
The wine really just hydrates you. It's not a drink.
Yeah. We were down at the old distillery, down Sam Adam Harpoon. We had
the Samuel Adams Brewery.
Yeah, we had the Yellow Brick Road, Porch Rocker.
So, the governor.
This took a dark turn.
Yeah, it really did. So let's see. So it was diverse other credible persons. Does that mean they were like actual diverse people, or does that mean just like short men and tall men? That's what my question is.
Yeah, it's just other people, probably. People he probably didn't know, like names he didn't know. Like people just like showed up and knocked at his door.
The fact that he says diverse, I'm just like, what did diverse mean back then?
Just other white people, like different shaped, like, white people.
But like white men, because women weren't a credible source. So,
oh no, like they were home. They were home, like doing womanly things.
Yeah, giving birth to 7 babies, you know, and making like bread
dying in childbirth.
Yeah, and making bread at the same time, because heaven forbid you be resting. Yeah,
being hysterical. Because women are always hysterical in the old days. She was an hysterical woman, my old good wife, Everill.
And therefore was deemed a witch and was burned.
Yeah. She barred me my 17 children. Only 3 survived into adulthood, but she was a wonderful woman until she was hanged prematurely for floating.
Yeah, and she floated in the muddy river.
Yeah. She was very buoyant, that old goody Everill.
So,
She had such thunderous thighs.
Easy on the thunderous thighs.
I'm not making fun of them. I'm not knocking them. I'm shouting out to them.
Okay, shout out to thunderous thighs. Yeah. I have a pair. So, back to the actual old-timey UFO sighting. Aside from everything that the governor wrote, the fact this has been actually like included in a bunch of books, I think, this sighting, or like a bunch of things that have been, including Wonders in the Sky, Unexplained Aerial Objects from Antiquity to Modern Times. That's a really long fucking title, by the way.
Just call it Wonders in the Sky, girl. Just call it Wonders in the Sky. What? Who wrote it? Who wrote it? Do we get a name? We'll give him a shout out.
Jacques Vallée.
Shout out to him.
Jacques Vallée and Chris Obeck.
Oh, it took 2 people to write this fucking book?
Apparently it did.
I have such like, all right, if it takes 2 people to fucking write a book, like, what? Girl, what?
I gotta say, it takes 2 of us to do this podcast, so...
Our podcast is different, because we're, like, conversing back and forth, and we, like, bouncing things off each other, but, like, it's...
Hey, you never know, maybe that's the style they wrote in.
They wrote in conversely style, and it's like, you know what, maybe we should, like, organize this better. Maybe we should just leave out that 30-minute tangent that we talked about fucking Maria Shriver.
Oh, we haven't had one of those in so long. it was bound to happen sooner or later. So anyway, like the debunkers and stuff that have been chatted about with this is it could have been a glow from Ignis Fatuus.
Oh, Ignis Fatuus, which is a fancy ass way of saying swamp gas.
Some light refracting off of Venus and some swamp gas.
I like the more poetic Will o' the Wisps.
Ah, yes. Isn't that from like an old like Disney story?
You're thinking of Wind in the Willows.
Yeah, but there was something in the Wind in the Willows with like the Brer Fox and Brer Bear and everything, and Brer Rabbit's like always.
Oh,
The Will of the Wisp, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. The Tales from the South thing.
Yeah, the Tales from the South stuff.
Songs of the South.
Yeah. But didn't Brer Rabbit like trick Brer Bear and Brer Fox into thinking like the Will of the Wisp was like this monster out in the swamps or something that was going to come get them? Or wasn't that one of the things that he did? Because he was always fooling Brer Fox and Brer Bear, who was always trying to catch him.
I'm Googling it right now. Let's find out. Let's find out this hot scoop right here.
I feel like that was a thing.
It came up in the 2012 Disney Pixar movie Brave. Will-o-the-Wisps are minor characters.
Nope.
Will-o-the-Wisps is the most common English designation for a family of fairy.
Oh.
Maybe you're thinking of something else. Oh, hold on. Brer Rabbit. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. You're right. Okay. Hold on.
Ha! Go my crazy memory that remembers nothing useful. Awesome.
All right. So technically a Will-o-the-Wisp is something that like is a light that hangs over like a bog. A picturesque variation of the name and form of the Will-o-the-Wisp is presented in one of the stories of Uncle Remus, who is what like the main character in Songs of the South. Yeah, so I guess you're right. Yeah, okay. Shout out to you for being correct in your...
Hey, yeah. I loved those stories when I was a kid. Now looking back at it, it's like, wow, that was so racist.
I know. It's just one of those things that we have to accept and move on.
It's true. I mean, they were good little stories. I didn't become like racist because of them or anything. Like, I just thought they were fun little stories from this kindly old man.
Yeah, like we have to enjoy the stories of yesteryear. We have to enjoy like the little rascals, as racist as they are, but they're still like cute, adorable stories.
I gotta say, you know, though, this actually speaks to like the innocence of a child's mind. When I was a little kid, we had all these like old records, like little records, you know, the little books that the little like golden books that came with like a cassette tape.
Yeah.
And you could listen and like flip along the pages. We had a series of them that were all records with the books.
Yeah, I had those too.
And it was like the old, the Disney stories and shit. So we have, Brer Rabbit and the Tar Baby.
Yeah, I had that one too. That's how I know the story. Okay.
Yes. So,
but I forgot. I forgot it until you just said it. Like,
I gotta say, I loved that story as a kid, but it never made sense to me that Brer Rabbit thought this lump of tar dressed up in clothes would actually say hello back. I never understood why he thought this inanimate object was going to answer him back when he said hello, until I was like, probably in junior high, and I just like for some reason suddenly realized, holy shit, he thought that was like a little black child sitting in the road, and he was pissed off that the black kid didn't say hi to him. But it speaks to like the innocence of childhood that like I didn't see it in a racial tone at all. I saw it as, he's talking to a lump of tar. Why does he think it's going to talk back?
Yeah, it's just that weird thing where you start watching something and you're just like, oh, there's a deeper meaning to this that you didn't understand when you were 4 or 5 years old. And then now it's explained to you as an adult that it's wrong. And you're like, oh, shit, I'm sorry for liking this. Like, you're like, I'm an awful person that I enjoyed this.
Right, but you didn't like it because you thought it had any racial tones to it at all. You liked it for the story, and you were confused why, like, there was an inanimate object that somebody thought was supposed to be a human.
All right, so you want to hear some other... Do you want to hear some other fun facts about the old-timey UFO case of James Everill and crew?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So 1638 or 1639 is approximately 150 years before the first attempted balloon flight. So this being a man-made aerial device is likely out of the equation. Also because the UFO had been reported to be hovering for hours, according to the stories, a meteorite is likely also not the culprit.
Right, so. Because that wouldn't be like shooting back and forth and hovering. It would be like a quick.
Yeah, you would see it, you'd be like, ooga, and then it was gone. And also, this being 1630 something, John Winthrop suggested a demonic presence as the source, which probably shocked the Puritans because, you know, everything unexplainable back then was the devil.
The devil!
But first, you want to hear, but first, we kind of like briefly touched on this. We're about to be quote-unquote scullied by the no-fun police because some ungrateful prick had added a footnote about the sighting in the 1825 edition of Winthrop's Journal, basically downgrading the UFO sighting to a common case of ignis fatuus?
Right, which is what we were just talking about. Yes,
just the will-o'-the-wisp. Basically, swamp gas is all it's in.
Yeah, ignited swamp gas, basically flaming shit out of the swamp.
Yeah, and like
swamp, from decomposing matter.
Yeah, swamp gas is something that we've talked about before, and we'll probably talk about it again and again and again.
Yep. Yeah, we talked about that in the Bridgewater Triangle episode, right?
Yeah, so it's basically just like a buildup of like methane gas like in the swamp. And it just kind of, it builds up in like a bubble under the swamp, I guess. And I guess if it's like a hot day or something, it might ignite.
A lot of what happens is the mixture of gas to oxygen, like the methane to oxygen has to be the right ratio for it to actually be flammable and ignite. And it becomes very sensitive when it hits that correct mixture. So what happens is, the decomposing matter builds up all of this like methane and other, you know, natural gases, and all of a sudden they get so saturated in the area, and like a breeze comes along and mixes in the oxygen naturally in the air with these swamp gases. Excuse me, I totally just burped. And all of a sudden,
okay. Okay,
it hits like the crucial mixture level, and the smallest thing could like set it off. So, like, you know, a warm day, the sunlight refracts off of something in the right way, and boom, it just ignites. Or, you know, spontaneous combustion.
But does it hover? Like, I'm, like, confused. I'm, like, confused by the phenomenon of it all. So people, like, well, like, they claim to see, like, a UFO, like, hovering above a pond for hours.
So it could be, it could be like a gas bubble in the, just over the marsh or something, and it could ignite, and it's basically just going to stay in that spot until all the gas is burned out. So it's going to stay there until it's...
So it could be hours?
Yeah, it depends on how much gas is in the area. So it's just going to sit there until all of a sudden, hey, its fuel source has run out, and it extinguishes itself naturally.
But like, could this happen in like a river where there's like flowing water though? Like that's like, I could see like an actual swamp, like the Hockomock Swamp that we talk about in the Bridgewater Triangle episode.
Right, right.
But like, which would be more like a flowing river, which is like going to the ocean. Like the Charles River, Muddy River, is like very close to the ocean, so it's like flowing water.
It is. So it probably shouldn't be, but there could be marshlands all around along those areas, because marshland is very common in Massachusetts. So,
and this is like old timey. This is like before we like built it up to like a city. So.
Exactly. So it's very probable that there were a lot of marshy areas around the river. So they probably weren't seeing something directly over the river. They were probably seeing something nearby from a swamp.
It's an interesting, like, it's a really good way to explain it, but it's still kind of, like I feel like it's, like a cock blocker of possible alien activity, so it's just...
Yeah, I feel like that's, like, the common, I mean, if you look at, like, the Men in Black, like, they're always, you know, when they do their little memory eraser thing, they're always like, oh, well, some swamp gas is refracted off of Venus, and, yeah.
But it's just like...
Caused this light show, and it wasn't really a flying saucer that crashed in your backyard taking out your last cow.
But it's like, this case is convenient that it took place over a river, but it's like, not all UFO sightings take place, like, over a river or a swamp. So it's like, how do you explain... You can't explain swamp gas over dry land.
Right, a lot of them take place like dry land. Oh, water world. sorry, we watched that the other night, so it's fresh in my head. dry land's a myth, Patrick. It's a myth.
It's a mythical creature. Dry land is not real.
But the tattoo on the girl's back, if you flip it upside down.
Who plays the girl?
I don't know her name, but she was also in the movie Carina Carino with Whoopi Goldberg. I just choked on my own inhalation. That was bad. And also, she was the girl from Napoleon Dynamite.
Tina Majorino.
Okay, that's her name. Yeah.
Yeah. She's also in Veronica Mars. Shout out to Veronica Mars.
I never watched that, so yeah, sorry.
All right. Well, it's another mystery. We'll watch it when you're here. We have a lot of things.
We
don't have enough time.
Yeah, we're going to have to be binge-watching all night. I think I'm going to be living off of, like, Red Bull and probably, you know.
Red Bull gives you wings. All right.
Yep, and I'll be just, like, flying around while I drink rum and we record stuff.
Are you ready for more theories?
Yes, yeah. What are the other theories on this one? Because that's a very interesting topic.
One thing I want to bring up. We also get some possible time loss. Yes, time loss amongst James Everill and his fellow observers. They stated that after watching the lights, they mysteriously realized they were now a mile or so away from where they initially discovered the light phenomenon. So perhaps we had America's first alien abduction, and these poor bastards didn't even realize it. Because, like, that's, like, a popular theory. Is, like, all of a sudden, like, you, like, wake up, and it's, like, time has passed?
Or they were paying attention to the lights and not paying attention to the fact that they didn't have their anchor down, and they were drifting down river, which moves pretty quickly.
Yeah, so I'm gonna bring up again the 18. So in 1825, someone read John Winthrop's journals in 1825.
It's an invasion of privacy.
I don't know who it was, but he footnoted a lot of the articles. So he cited that drifting in the water was likely a thing to occur, regardless of what's going on above you. And Everill, he probably didn't realize, like, they just were so caught up in watching the lights in the sky, they didn't realize that they were still moving along the river. They moved a mile. I guess they ended up back where they started from. So, like, they docked somewhere, and they, like, paddled, like, a mile down the river. And then they ended up back at the original spot.
That seems unlikely.
I mean, I don't know if it was because that's the way the river flows, or if it was alien activity. Like, we can't explain.
Yeah, because did they paddle downriver or upriver? Because if they paddled upriver, they're going against the current and then would naturally float back down. So
I don't know. It doesn't say. The information that I read doesn't say. Because I'm thinking the river is going towards the ocean. That's my guess.
That's usually the way it goes.
So I was thinking, if they ended up back where they started, they must have been further out and they went back inland. Paddled inland, and then they somehow ended up back near the river, which would be normal. That would seem normal.
That would be normal, right?
Unless it was like the opposite. Then if it was the opposite, then that would be weird, because like you wouldn't. Let's say they started and they went outward because it was like easier to do. You don't have to struggle to like.
It's hard to say though, because I gotta say when we canoe for Easter, because my family's weird. When we canoe the river for Easter, there have been times where we will start at a point. And we will go upriver against the current because that way the way back is going to be easier to get back to the car. So, like, we start out the day doing the hard part so that we're not doing that at the end when we're all exhausted anyway.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know.
And we can just kind of coast for the most part on the way home.
Well, John Winthrop was a dick and he didn't document properly, like, what direction they were going.
That's true. I mean, that would have been valid knowledge to record as part of this. You know, it would save us a lot. Maybe we need to go back and just, like, knock some sense into them.
Well, I would like to think, because they made a point out of it, that they ended up, like, a mile away. I would like to think that they somehow ended up, like...
Against the current. Like, yeah.
Against the current.
Like, mystically, something towed them along. Yeah.
That's what I would like to think. I don't know that that's what happened or not, but... Let's, for the sake of the podcast, let's say that's what happened.
Okay, I'm on board with that. And then, of course, you know...
We just rewrote history right there.
We did, just a little bit. And also, I gotta say, too, not too long after, it was in, like, what, 1644, I think it says?
Yes.
There's another journal entry or diary entry from Winthrop about another odd sighting similar in nature in the same area. Did I read that right?
I guess it's a recurrent thing. It happened like a few times over several years.
Right.
From different people. So, that I think that's like the different sources.
So it's about midnight, three men coming in a boat to Boston saw two lights arise out of the water near the north point of the town cove in a form like a man and went at a small distance to the town, and so to the south point, and there vanished away. All right. I hate reading shit from, like, ancestry type, what ancient, like, whatever. Old-timey writing is just hard to follow sometimes. Anyway.
I'm going to get into that, because that kind of, like, segues into what I was going to talk about next. So,
okay.
One interesting point about this fascinating old-timey UFO sighting. The shape of the swine description. So I said that earlier.
That's a very interesting point to me, the whole shape of the swine, because that's not something you typically see in, like, UFO sightings.
No, it's so basic and odd.
Right. Even the, like, the progression that we talked about before about, like, how, oh, you know, they looked like, you know, hot air balloons when that was, like, a really new thing. And then all like of a sudden, thing. You know, that became the standard. And, oh, they became, like, saucer-like things. And now they're, like, triangular. I'm sorry, but nothing has ever looked like a freaking swine, to my knowledge, that we've flown in the sky. So why are we looking at shapes of pigs here in lights?
See, at this time, mankind has no real knowledge of what an aircraft is, other than, like, birds and bats and, like, maybe a flying squirrel. Maybe. So they relate. So observers, witnesses, eyewitnesses, they'll relate it to, like, what they do in fact know. So James Everill, according to legend, according to, like, what I've read, he was someone who dealt with making satchels, wallets, and other leathery type accessories for men. Harnesses for sex? I don't know. I don't judge. By trade, that was his job. So he was most likely skinning the hides off the skin of animals.
And then tanning them, which would involve, like, fairly interesting substances that could potentially be harmful that they didn't know were harmful back in the day.
I guess that too, but I'm thinking, like, what I'm thinking is he's familiar with the shapes of animals. So, like, he sees
swine.
Yep. Like, he sees swine a lot. So, like, more so than the average bear. It's, like, not, like, the town, like, fence bear.
Right. Like, he knows what a pig looks like, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, he looks in the sky and he sees a light that, like, I don't know, let's say, like, a swine is, like, kind of cigar-shaped, but it has, like, legs.
And maybe a little curly tail.
Yeah, and, like, it's, like, you know, you see, like, a light in the sky, it's not going to be, like, an exact shape. Like, you see light. Like, light can bend differently and kind of funny.
It's like looking at clouds and going, oh, that one looks like such and such. Yes. But somebody else says, no, it looks like this.
And, like, we can even, like, deduce that, like, he might have saw, like, legs on the swine, maybe. Like, maybe he saw legs. So, like, it could have been, like, landing gear. Ooga? Like, landing gear, maybe?
Ooh! Yeah. Little wheels coming down. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it's, like, who knows? Like, who knows what he saw? And it's, like the light moves, too. So, like, you see it from different angles.
Yep, and it could look like something completely different from a different angle.
Yeah, and if it actually was swamp gas or Ignis Fatass, whatever it was called, then...
I like that name better.
If it was Ignis Fatass, Will-O-The-Wisp, swamp gas, you light a match. Like, you light a match today, you light a lighter. Like, the flame is... It's a very... Like a fluid type shape, like it
solid thing. So it's going to bend depending on like the air, well, the gases, and also the air around it moving is going to manipulate the shapes of it.
Yeah, so you're not always gonna see the same shape. And then you talk about like the flame up and like the contraction of the shape. So
yes,
that kind of like maybe he did see Ignis Fatass, whatever the fuck it was called. Maybe it was just, like, burning up. Maybe it was burning all the skies for hours.
Yeah.
I guess it happens, right?
I guess. Does
it build up?
It can happen. It's not out of the question. But, I mean, it could be, like, a record book thing, but it's not out of the question, definitely.
But who knows? Does alien activity get back to 1638 or 1639 or before?
Or 16...
What did they want?
And if it did they come back in 1644 and, like, show some other people, yo, we're here, bitches?
Yeah, things to ponder. Were all those giant powdered wigs covering giant alien heads?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Are our forefathers from another world?
Were aliens at the first Thanksgiving, as South Park suggested?
Did they help us beat those pesky Brits?
Were they fighting for the stuffing mines on another planet?
And most importantly, is this the start of old-timey Men in Black? They won't let you remember.
Oh, Ooh, is Will Smith really an alien? Is that why he doesn't age?
He doesn't age. But you know what? I don't age either, so am I an alien? I don't think I'm an alien, as far as I know.
That's true. You two still have kind of baby face, especially if you shave.
I know. People that I work with think I'm like 19 and 20, and I'm like, no, I'm 35 or 30. I don't even know how old I am anymore. And they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, girl, yes, I am. Girl, I am old. I'm an old ass.
You're going to be, okay, you're 36. You're going to be 37 this year.
Ooga. Ooga.
It's a little scary that I know how old you are and you don't.
You've always known how old I was and I never knew how old I was. So,
but in my defense, okay, so it's really easy for me to track how old you are and when your birthday is because for one, you were born the same year as my sister and two, your birthday is the same as my mother's.
Oh.
So it's so easy for me to keep track of when you were born because there's like two people in my life that helped me remember when you were born, and it's a little creepy.
How does that explain how you used to know my license plate?
That's just because I drove behind you on the way home so many times.
Oh, okay. All right. So I think we'll definitely have to revisit the subject of old-timey UFOs again because there's so many. That was just one example, and we took our fucking sweetest time with it, as always.
As always. I mean, there's always going to be quotes to bring into the equation. So, yeah.
Like, if you're looking for, like, a podcast in which, like, they get to, like, the nitty-gritty about old-timey UFOs, this is not it. This is, like, more of, like, fun time with your friends talking about UFOs.
If you want something that could potentially make you laugh at us, yes, you have found the correct place for you. If you are looking for actual scientific, like, analysis on things, please go elsewhere because all this is drinking and speculation.
Yeah, and you know what? We're not going to change for you. We don't know you. Girl, we don't know you.
Nope. We have totally come to terms with who we are as people, and that's what we're going to stay at. So,
to quote Eric Cartman, it's my hot body. I will do what I want.
whatever, I do what I want.
All right. I think we should prep the audience for next week. Maybe we'll ease into the, speaking of mysterious skies. We love to talk about the things above us, things we don't understand, things we don't know, things that maybe harm us. Maybe who knows?
Yes, and things that they have actually talked about on X-Files or alluded to on X-Files.
Loki, I think this is our first like X-Files reference of the episode, which is like late.
I think it is. Oh no, how is it that late in the episode?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Oh hell yeah, chemtrails all the way.
Chemtrails, girl. Next week we are getting into fucking chemtrails. We're gonna get into the science of chemtrails. We're gonna get down to like
what they are poisoning us with,
what they are made of, what they could be made of, where they came from,
mind control possibilities,
why they take the shape they take shape of chemtrails. And you know what? And if we don't talk about chemtrails, it's because we were tricked into not talking about them
from something from chemtrails.
Yeah, keep that in mind. keep that in mind, and follow us at redwinemysteries.tumblr.com. Am I right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's our website.
And
we're on Apple Podcast. Just search for Red Wine and Mystery Stories. We're there. Write us a very sexy review. Give us 5 stars if you can.
Yep, we would enjoy that thoroughly. Also, if you have any comments or things that you would like us to cover, email us at redwinemysteries@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we're working on a Facebook group /mystery board, message board.
Yes, where we can take some recommendations and entertain other people with our hilarity.
Yeah, and I might make a Twitter and maybe we'll make an Instagram. We'll work on it. We're going to work on our – we haven't quite figured out our social media plan yet.
We'll work on the social media and get into, the 21st century finally.
Yeah, and as always, watch the skies.
Watch the skies. Woo!